I want to ask us this morning, have you found what you are looking for? I'm not talking about your keys or your phone. Who here was looking for their keys this morning, trying to get out of the house? Anyone? No? I often do that. Look for my keys, then look for my phone, look for my wallet, look for my trousers, you know, all kinds of stuff. Just look for, you know, whatever I'm looking for, just trying to find it. Well, today we have a bit of a search, but it's not for keys or wallets or phones or anything, it's for eggs. And those who are keen-eyed amongst us will have already noticed some eggs lying around. We're going to have a mini Easter egg hunt for mini Easter eggs. These are lint eggs, so the warnings are here. Milk, lactose, barley, soya, hazelnuts, other nuts may contain. So that's your warning. Okay, that's not the church, that's this. But that's a warning. So there are little eggs lying around, and can you see them? In a moment, I'm going to, of course you can see them. I'm going to count. You don't need to run, okay, because if you run you might trip, might hurt yourself. But they're all in this room, all in this bit, and they're hidden all at a level that you should be able to grab one. I want you to walk and grab one and bring it back and pop it in the tray that I have here, in the bowl, and then you can go and get another one, okay, and then bring it back and put it in the bowl. Don't hold it too tight because you'll make it all melt, okay. But 3, 2, 1, go. Walk. Walk, walk, walk. Any age, you can be any age. That's it, one at a time. One at a time. There's plenty around. Once you've found one, you can go back and get another one if you found another one. That's it. You don't have to put your dinosaur in, that's fine. Well done, very good. I must say I don't know how many there are, but I can see some more still. I can still see some more. There are still some more. I've just laid it. Oh, you've just laid that one. Very good. Yeah, well done. I can still see another one. Another two, maybe. Well done. Yeah, that's it. I think I can see another one. Some of them are at head height if your head is low. Still got one? Yeah, that's it. If you're an adult and you can see one, point it out or put your hand up or something. I think that's all of them. Is there one more left yet? Brilliant. Okay, well done. Well done. Very good. Wow. Give them all a round of applause. Yeah, you can bring that door, yeah. That's great. Well done, Ryan. Oh, that's fantastic. Right, you found something that was left over from our half-term activity, which is great. We can read that out. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. So this is the hope that Jesus holds us out on. There's another one as well. So there are some more left out around. But we just have some eggs here. Well, thank you very much for collecting these eggs for me. I do appreciate that. It's very kind of you. I wondered where I put them. See, I'm leaving stuff all over the place. I tell you what, because I'm feeling generous and because it's Easter Sunday, don't expect this on any other Sunday, but I'll let you share these out later on, okay? So after the service, if you come with your adult, all right, and then you can take at least one, there may be enough for more than one. You may have to bite them in half or something like that, so... Okay. Yeah, you're going to shove them in. Well done. Okay, right. That's what I do, too. But they're much bigger than these. So, you found what you were looking for. That's great. We found the eggs. But you know, that first Easter Sunday, there were a group of ladies who went looking for Jesus. Of course, he was dead, because they'd seen him die on that cross. He was definitely dead, that the Romans knew how to crucify someone. And so they took him down from that cross and they laid him in a grave and they wrapped him up. And it was all done very quickly, very hastily. And so although he had been wrapped with spices, they wanted to go and make sure that he had a proper burial. That was their last kind of act of love towards him, his body lying there cold in the grave. And they went and looked for him, and he was not there. He was no longer dead. They did not find what they were looking for, the dead body. But they did find who they were looking for. They found Jesus, alive and well, and in his resurrected body. And that is our hope. And as you read the scriptures, you can read them for yourself. He didn't faint and was buried accidentally. They didn't go to the wrong grave. They knew exactly where he was buried. The tomb had been sealed. The guards were guarding it. And yet the stone was now rolled back and he was gone. And he then appeared to many people over the weeks to demonstrate that he was real. He could be touched. The scars still in his hand. They knew this was Jesus. The scar still in his side where the spear had been thrust. He ate amongst them. This was the real deal. And so you may look for Easter eggs today, and though you may enjoy Easter eggs and chocolate, actually Easter isn't about the chocolate. Easter is all about Jesus. I know, it's horrifying, isn't it? Although we may enjoy the chocolate, there's someone far better who will do us far much more good, and that's Jesus Christ. I know that too, and that's good.
And if you'd like to follow along, it's in page 116 of the Church Bibles. Eutychus raised from the dead at Troas. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people and, because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted.
Thank you, Michelle. Today on Easter Sunday, we hear the story of a young man who was himself raised from the dead within the early church after an unfortunate incident. And I want us to consider what happened, and to help us I have three P's: the priority, the peril, and the power. So firstly, the priority of the early church. We are in the early stages of the church as we come to this reading, and it had developed something of a pattern to its meeting, its celebrating, its remembering what Christ had done. And within this pattern, it pursued the priority of fellowship and of worship. It was a priority because this was the first day of the week, much like today, the Lord's Day, what we have as the Sunday, that they met as church in that way. So on the first day of the week, the early church engaged in fellowship. We came together. That's something that we've done this morning, not just now, but earlier on as well. That fellowship, that chatting, that coming alongside one another. And in worship also, as we do here today. This phrase, to break bread, is of course sharing of the Lord's Supper together, but it was more. They would sing hymns together and there would be this remembering, this focused upon Jesus and what he had done. This participation together, this very active remembering together. I urge us as church to continue to prioritise the important things, of which these are two. Centering ourselves around Jesus, because it is all about him. It is not about us. It's all about his agenda. It's not about ours. It's about his leadership, not about ours. He is to be the focus, the centre of our attention, the object of our worship. You see, individuals and groups will always try to make it about them, but it is not. It is always all about Jesus. That's why we gather. That's whom we worship. As we break bread together and as we come and worship together and join together as in fellowship, we do so as his body. We recognise that it's only because of him and his death that we are able to meet in this way. Our identity as church and our purpose as church is found in Jesus. I want to encourage church, us as church, in the times ahead to focus upon Jesus, upon his kingdom and his priorities. He wants people to know him as their saviour and Lord. He wants the poor and the marginalised ministered to. He wants love and unity, humility and service. Focus upon him. Make it all about him, not about you or me or us. Secondly, we see something of the perils of preaching. Paul had a gift, that of preaching and sharing the gospel. Many people came to Christ through his ministry. But he made the most of the opportunities that were presented to him. And that means he sometimes spoke at great lengths. And I've sought to emulate Paul in this. That's why we as church meet on the ground floor. We read how Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. Don't quite know what time he began. But I want to say this. You think yourselves blessed and fortunate that I have not followed to the letter the ministry of Paul. Breathe a sigh of relief. However, I think that we may need to acknowledge that many of our churches in the UK, perhaps as a reflection of society, prefer things to be short, succinct. We don't want to work too hard at listening. We like our ears tickled. We like to be spoon-fed. We turn up for the buzz of an inspiring message and an inspiring speaker. Talking till midnight may be an extreme, but perhaps we should also consider the church around the globe, where followers of Jesus are so eager to receive the word of God that they will do everything they can to receive teaching and preaching, travelling up to great distances and spending huge amounts of their time meeting together, worshipping together, doing everything they can to get their hands upon the scriptures, or even some of the scriptures, because they recognise that that is life to them. So the scene is set. There are many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. It's a nice cozy setting. It's nice to be cozy. It's nice to be relaxed. And a young man has chosen his seat, in fact a window seat. And these are in the days before glass. Just an opening in the wall. But this young man, Eutychus, we read, was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. You may be able to identify with Eutychus. You can imagine his eyelids becoming heavy, his body relaxing, the dull droning of Paul's voice, expounding deep theological truths and concepts, sinking, sinking, sinking. Now you're all still with me, that's good. Huh? And then the shocking moment came. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story. You can imagine the commotion, the gasp that there would have been perhaps in the room as this young man sitting in the open window suddenly vanished. A whoosh and a thud. Perhaps he even called out as he toppled, as you do, and as I see many of you do, jolting awake. But perhaps too late. Perhaps a scream from down below, from passing witnesses, as this young man fell to his death. See, my thinking on this is that Paul and this church had not filled out the necessary risk assessments, and a tragedy ensued. Eutychus was picked up dead. He was dead. There's a nice cheerful story for Easter Sunday. But then, of course, Easter Sunday has its roots in the despair and the devastation of Good Friday. Easter begins with death, devastation, the smashing of hope. This young man, we thought he was the one. His life cut short. For what? The dreams and aspirations, the desires of a generation of a people nailed to a cross for all to see. Death reigns from that cursed tree. We could say that Jesus was picked up. Dead. Taken off the cross. Dead. His descent from the cross ending in misery, tears, pain. And poor Eutychus. Well, that was his lot, wasn't it? He was the unfortunate one who happened to suffer death by sermon. Many of you may know something of that tragedy. Interestingly, Eutychus, his name means, get this, it means fortunate. His name means fortunate. Eutychus was the blessed one. Whether this was his name, his real name, or this became his name or his nickname, the blessed one, the fortunate one. Not, of course, because he fell out of the window and died, but because of what happened next. Because we see something of the power of the resurrection at work within that early church in this incident. We read how Paul initially did three things. Paul went down from the third story, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. In other words, Paul went to where the difficulty was. He did not stay up in the third story, up in the tower. He didn't stay up there aloof, looking down on everyone. This wasn't someone else's problem. He went straight down to the situation. And he threw himself upon the man and put his arms around him. We see something of an echo of what we read in the Old Testament, of both Elijah and his successor Elisha did, also with a young boy who had died. 1 Kings chapter 17, "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." Elijah carried that boy up to his upper room. Paul came from the upper room down to the young man. Both, though, identified so closely with the person who had died so tragically that they were literally body to body. This is body to body ministry. This is closeness. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, when Elisha reached the house, we've heard Elijah, this is Elisha, Elijah's successor, reached the house, there was the boy, a different boy, lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away, walked back and forth in the room, then got on the bed and stretched himself out on him once more. The boy sneezed seven times and opened his eyes. Both miracles find parallels with each other, but now also with this story of Eutychus. So along with Paul's three actions, Paul then spoke two things. Don't be alarmed. And he's alive. Again, an echo of a past miracle, but this time, more recent. Those words relating to Jesus, as we hear the angel declaring in Mark chapter 16, "Don't be alarmed." Same phrase. Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is alive. See, because of Jesus' resurrection, we can have freedom from fear. Don't be alarmed. We can have freedom from fear even in the face of death, because we know that those who are in him have eternal life. Today, on Easter Sunday, we hear the hope of the resurrection. So we are not to fear. He is alive. And we know that this is a very real hope, a very real miracle. See, for Eutychus, this was definitely resurrection from the dead. Eutychus definitely died. I'll tell you why. Three reasons. Dr. Luke, who's writing this story, relaying this to us, authenticates it. He's a doctor. He knows what he's talking about. He researches it all. And he makes this clear that this is a fall from a third story. It's not tumbling over the step. This is actually out of a window on the third story. He explains clearly, as a physician, he was taken up dead. That's a very clear word there in the Greek, what it means. And Luke was fully capable of describing someone who is supposedly dead or has the appearance of death, because he does so elsewhere using that phrase. He does so of Paul in Acts chapter 14. But here, he definitely describes him as dead. Also, Paul clarifies. Paul embraces Eutychus and he says, don't be alarmed. Alarmed because he was dead. He is alive. Again, the Greek is clear. It says, for the life of him is in him. And it's different from the life of him is still in him, as in he has not died. So the phrase here is used for someone who has life in him now, whereas he didn't have life in him then. And thirdly, we see the witness's reaction. Eutychus was taken home alive, by which the others were greatly comforted. They're only comforted because he was dead, and now he is alive. And again, the emphasis is being taken away alive rather than dead. So the construction of the Greek there. He was dead, but now is alive. He certainly is the fortunate one, the blessed one. You know, for Eutychus, that name, Eutychus, would be attached to him, whether it was his real name or whether it was a nickname. As you saw him coming, Eutychus, you're the one who fell asleep, fell out the window. As Paul talked on and on and on. But you're alive. You know, the one who was dead, but is now alive. Eutychus was a living, breathing example of the resurrection power of God at work within the early church following Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And just as we come to the close of this story, a couple more things briefly I want to point out. In verse 11, then Paul went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. Remember, this is now around or after midnight. Here's Paul and the others' midnight feast or snack. Interesting, though, that the breaking of bread is at the beginning of the story and at the end, with death and resurrection of life in the middle. May all that we do as church be in the context of recalling Jesus, his death and his resurrection. And one more thing, funny little thing really. We read of how Paul, after talking until daylight, he left. In other words, Paul continued from where he left off. He clearly hadn't finished what he wanted to say. He finished his teaching and preaching and may well have continued for a few more hours. How long have we got this morning? After his little midnight snack. And it was only after that Paul had left that Eutychus was then escorted home. He was the fortunate one to be able to sit through more of Paul's message. But of course no one was allowed near the windows after that. Let us pray.